Now, friends, we come to the 8th chapter of the book of Judges today. If you have your Bible, and it'll turn there, and if you have our notes and outlines, just follow along, and you'll find it'll make this passage more meaningful to you, especially if you read it beforehand. Now, here in the 8th chapter, we have a continuance of the record of this man Gideon, who was the judge. And you'll notice that we have more concerning Gideon than any other judge. This man Gideon, we began with him actually in chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. And then, of course, in chapter 9, we have the story of his son. There's a question whether he was a judge or not. But we have this rather extended section here, and we'll be, of course, taking that up now. Here in the 8th chapter, you find that these are the events that came to pass after this remarkable deliverance that God gave through Gideon over the Midianites. And now the children of Israel, again, are free, and as a result, why, they are prosperous, they're being blessed. And they were so grateful to Gideon for what he had done that they then asked him, and I'm going to drop all the way down to verse 22 of chapter 8 of Judges, and I'm reading. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. Now, this is the very first time that we've been given the inclination of the people of Israel in wanting a king to rule over them. God told them at the beginning he did not want them to have a king like the nations round about them, but they began to want a king like the nations round about them. And because Gideon had delivered them, they asked him now to accept that position. Now, he's the first one that apparently has been offered to, and he turned it down. And later on, we'll find out that they'll ask for a king again, and they become insistent upon it. They demand a king, and God tells Samuel that he's to anoint a king for them. And he says to Samuel, who is actually the last of the judges, the first of the prophets, that is, of the order of prophets. And God told Samuel, he said, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me. You see, God wanted to rule over them. And in this case, why, it was God that had used Gideon so remarkably, but now the men of Israel, they want Gideon to rule over them. And not only Gideon, but his son and his son's sons, which means they want a king like the other nations that are round about them. And this, of course, gave an idea, it put a thought in the mind of Gideon's son that we'll see in just a few moments, and probably was the very basis of his conspiracy and his attempt to become, actually, the king over these people. Now, I want you to notice the remarkable answer that Gideon gave. And this is remarkable, verse 23. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Now, this man Gideon has certainly learned the lesson. There's no question about that. He recognized this boy that was there he was thrashing grain down by the wine press, the coward that he was. And Gideon knew that God had given the victory and that it was not in him, but God had raised him up for this purpose, and that the order was a theocracy, that is, that God wanted to rule directly over these people. And so he says, I'm not going to rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. And the Lord is the one that shall rule over you. Now, Gideon is therefore a very remarkable person. And you'll find that when in the chapter in Hebrews of the we call them heroes of faith, but it's what faith did in the lives of man in the past under all ages and conditions. And we find here in verse 32 of Hebrews 11, "And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon?" And he leads the list here of all the judges. In fact, the matter is, he's put in the head of the list of David. Of course, he comes chronologically before David. I've always marveled that David was given such a small space in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, but the explanation is that the writer says the time had failed me, and he wanted to tell about Gideon. Well, the story is recorded back here, and it's a remarkable story. This man, Gideon, raised up. God chooses the weak things of the world, and that's his method today, friends. Any man, a woman that God uses has to be used on God's terms, and this is his terms. He chooses the weak things of this world. Now, as I said at the beginning, most of us are too strong for God to use us and to lead us. Now, I wish we could close the record of Gideon at this particular spot, but you can't. And this is the black mark in his life. This is actually the basis of that which caused tragedy later on. All of these men had a glaring weakness, and most of the cases God used that. And of course, the weakness of this man, Gideon, was the fact that he was a coward. Very frankly, I felt very close to this man, Gideon, myself and my ministry. When I went to become pastor in 1949 at the Church of the Open Door in downtown Los Angeles, my first message to the people was on Gideon. And I put myself in that class that I came in weakness, and that the only reason I could see that God had called me was the fact that I was like Gideon. In that respect, I sure was weak and cowardly, by the way. And I have rejoiced in the fact that God did for me what he did for Gideon. He certainly was with me. And I've always been grateful to him. And I've discovered that when I get in the way, and I do sometime, why, then I stumble and fall. But as long as you're just willing to let God do it, it's remarkable what he'll do. And I give God all the glory for this radio ministry, friends. I never sought it. I didn't start out after it. It just like Topsy growed, and God has blessed it, and I rejoice in it. He's been very wonderful. What a testimony. I wish we could end here, but Gideon had another weakness, and here it is. Verse 30, "And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives." He had 70 sons, friends, and he had many wives. Now, that's the blot on this man's life. And it's a real blot, because somebody's going to come along, as they say about Solomon. Oh, how could God use a man like this? And why would God take a man like this? Now, God didn't take Gideon, as we've seen, because of this. He did this afterward. And the fact of the matter is that God used him in spite of this. And God did not approve of this. The record has it here, and I think the record makes it clear that this brought tragedy into the nation, as we'll see here in the next chapter. And so this is a blot in the life of Gideon. God had forbidden them to intermarry outside. He had forbidden them to have more than one wife. And God didn't create a bunch of Eves for Adam. He only created one. He didn't take out all his ribs. He only took out one. Fact of the matter is, God has never blessed that, beginning with Abraham. Abraham, you know, had another wife. That is, he took a concubine, that little Egyptian maid, Hagar. And believe me, it caused trouble. Friends, it's still causing trouble. I talked to an Arab guy down at Jericho that took me down there, and he was very proud of the fact. He says, I'm a son of Abraham. He's an Arab. And you know how? Through Ishmael. He was a Muslim, and he was very proud. He said, I'm a son of Abraham through Ishmael. That's true. That was the sin of Abraham. God never blessed that, friends. And God is not going to bless Gideon. And God didn't bless this man Solomon. In fact, the matter is that split the kingdom, and it's going to cause tragedy here. This is the blot in his life. Just because the record is given, God doesn't hide anything. God paints man's picture as he is. Now, if a friend who is his biographer had written this, he'd left this out, I'm sure. But not God. He paints mankind in all of his lurid, sinful colors. And this man, Gideon, this is the black mark against him. And we have here that he had a concubine that was in Shechem. She also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. Keep him before you, by the way. He actually had 71 sons. Now, verse 33, it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again, and they went a-whoring after Balaam, and made Baal bereath their god. Same old story, is it not? The hoop of history continues to roll as it's rolling today. You find them a nation serving God. Then what happens? They did evil. They forsook God. They turned to Baal. And God sells them into slavery and servitude. They cry out to God. They repented, and judges raised up and delivered them, and a nation serving God. But here they go again, that as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again, went a-whoring after Balaam. That is the sad, sordid story of that nation, and also actually of his church today. And it's true, I'm afraid, in the lives of nations. It's in the lives of churches. It's in the lives of individuals, this up-and-down business. Today, many of us are just rolling a hoof through this world. One day we're up, the next day we're down. God never intended our spiritual life to be like that, by the way.